Hey, day 23 today, guys. We are making our way through the week. We are in Job today. We're looking at chapters 1 through 3 and 38 through 42.
Yeah, so a lot of reading today in Job.
And also some time frame context, too, I think is good because, you know, if you do a chronological read through of the Bible, Job is in Genesis, like you're in the middle of Genesis. And so we're looking at about, what, like 400 years post-flood right now
is where we're at. This is basically between flood and Abraham.
Yeah.
So the people have been scattered, right? The Tower of Babel has most likely happened, but God has not called Abram yet and started to establish his nation. So... Yeah.
I think that's always helpful.
That's a good point. So this is during the time, what we would call this is the time of the patriarch, like Abram was, or Jacob, or Isaac. So Job, though, is an interesting book for a lot of reasons. And we're going to read the first three chapters, and then we read the last, what, four or five, which is how God responds.
Yep.
But in the first three chapters, there's a couple of things that we have to note. One, that Job is legitimately a faithful guy.
Yes.
Right? Is he perfect?
Blameless.
Absolutely not. When God says that he's blameless, it doesn't mean he's perfect.
Right.
But it means that he is, with all of his heart, intending to follow God. And when he doesn't, he repents. He even offers sacrifices for his children in case they have accidentally sinned. I mean, he is a guy that takes God's glory seriously. And we also notice in this that there is a time in history where Satan is allowed, and is not necessarily over, where Satan is allowed to be in the heavenlies, right? He's been cast out of heaven, but it doesn't mean that he doesn't have access.
Right?
He's not a threat.
Right. He's on a leash.
Right.
I think, I like that. I heard that, and I think that's a really good...
But he's he's there. Like, the angels are presenting themselves to God, and Satan decides to show up. And God basically is the one that points Job out. He says, "Have you seen my servant Job?" Right? He's faithful. And of course, Satan says, "Well, of course he's faithful. You give him everything he wants and you won't let me hurt him." Right? Nothing bad ever happens to him. So why wouldn't he serve you? And God says, "Fine, let's test this. You can mess with his stuff." Right? And so he does. He loses possessions. He loses children.
Do you find it interesting that he loses everything but his wife?
No.
I think that's...
That makes perfect sense to me. Right? like Satan's like, I'm going to torture you by taking everything away from you, but not your wife, because somehow I know that's going to make it worse.
No. I mean, well, she kind of proves to be kind of, you know, not fun all the time.
Well, I think, I mean, in her defense, right, she doesn't know what's
happening.
But so, and then, you know, he gets his boils. God basically says over the course of two interactions, do whatever you want with him, do whatever you want with his stuff, but you cannot kill him. I love the fact that this shows us that Satan does not have autonomy, right? Satan can only do what God allows him to do. Now, that's a hard thing to reconcile when bad things happen, right? But this clearly tells us that Satan is not just able to do whatever he wants. God is the one that gives space for Satan to operate.
And I think the really good verse to make sure we pay attention to is verse 22 in chapter 1, that in all of this, Job did not sin. Yeah.
Right? He did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. He didn't blame God.
Yeah.
Now, as the then we get into chapter 2, now Job has physical issues. Same things are going on. He has some friends that come and cry with him. He has the interaction with his wife. His wife says, "Are you still maintaining your integrity?" In verse 9, "Just curse God and die." Basically, she's saying, God isn't there for you. You spent your whole life serving God, and he is clearly not who you thought he was. But Job says, "What are you talking about? Don't be foolish. God gave me good things. God is taking away," right? This is where we get that song, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." You know, he gives and takes away. So Job has a right attitude that says, I can't be mad at God for taking things away from me, because He gave them to me in the first place. Mm-hmm. They were never mine. And Job speaks, and basically he's like, the day of my birth sucks. I wish it didn't exist. Mm-hmm. My life is not good. I have no rest, only turmoil. I wish that I would be lying down in peace, but I'm not. Everything is ruined and broken, right? He's lamenting. You read that, and that's what he does in the conversation he has with his three or four friends through the rest of the book. He's lamenting. He never blames God, but he does say, God, where are you? Mm-hmm. He says, God, I want to make my case to you. If I've done wrong, tell me, but I don't think I've done wrong. All of his friends keep saying, you obviously did something wrong. You just need to ask forgiveness. And he keeps saying, I don't think I did. He's like, I need to talk to God. And he says, I know I will. I know that I will talk to God. He mm-hmm. thinks when he's dead and in eternity, he'll talk to God. But then we get to chapter 38, and he really does get to talk to God.
Yeah.
Right there. And I love it. God starts in chapter 38.
God mic drops on him.
Yeah, he does. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm, right? And he's like, who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? And then brace yourself like a man, right? Mm-hmm. Because I will question you and you'll answer me. Basically, this is God saying, hey, you created being, you are a man that I made. Mm-hmm. So let's see if in your humanity, you can answer my God-sized questions. Mm-hmm. And then he goes on to, and I love these next three chapters that just talk about how glorious mm-hmm. and great God is. Were you there when I laid the earth's foundation? Mm-hmm. Tell me if you understand. Who marked off the dimensions? And God is clearly saying, I did that. Mm-hmm. You didn't do that because you're a created human being. I own all of this. You know, do you know? And he goes like, do you know when the mountain goats are about to give birth? He says, I do, right? Mm-hmm. Do you feed like the fields with dew? Nope, that's me. Have you seen the storehouses of snow and lightning and thunder that I'm going to send out in their season? Mm-hmm. You know, and then he talks about, he talks about dinosaurs. I mean, he talks about the behemoth and the Leviathan. And if we read those as literal things, which they are, mm-hmm. he's talking about created monsters, basically, mm-hmm. animals that he made. And mm-hmm. so kind of tells us that in that time frame, post-flood still, that these things exist, right? Now, certainly they die out, but there is the question of what about dinosaurs? Where are dinosaurs? Yeah. Well, here they are in Scripture. Yeah. God's saying, have you seen this one basically talking about a brontosaurus? Mm-hmm. And have you seen this other thing that's basically talking about a big sea creature? One of them kind of reads like a dragon.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like breathing fire. Mm-hmm. And that's not mm-hmm. allegory. That's God saying, mm-hmm. I created that thing. You've seen it. You can't tame it, but I can tame it because mm-hmm. I created it.
Do you think, side note, do you think those things will be on the new earth?
I don't know why they wouldn't be.
Oh, that's cool.
I don't know why they wouldn't
that's
be.
That's so when cool. God
restores, obviously, they were part of his perfect creation.
Yeah.
And so as he restores things to his perfect creation, that's why Vince...
Sorry, that's just a thought I had all
Vince
of a sudden.
Vince Durr always used to say that in heaven, he was going to ride a velociraptor.
That's funny.
Because he just assumed maybe that he'll they whittle would be one. There. Whittle a velociraptor. Yeah, he's a lot of whittling right now. Anyway, so God is clearly showing his authority, mm-hmm. right? And he's clearly...
He's gently rebuking Job
here. He is.
Here.
He's saying, Job, you don't get to question me. Now, remember, in this, it's weird because Job didn't sin.
Right.
Right? Job didn't accuse God, mm-hmm. but Job's position was, if I get to talk to God, I'll be able to defend myself to him.
Right.
And now God is gently rebuking him, saying, Job, you can't defend yourself mm-hmm. to me because I'm God.
Yep.
And I do what I will. What I love in all of God's dialogue in chapter 38, 39, 40, 41, he never once explains to Job why. Mm-hmm. Job's like, mm-hmm. why? I didn't do anything. Why is this happening?
Yeah,
why is this happening? God doesn't even ever bother to try to convince Job why. He just says, Job, I'm God, you're not. And Job's only response in chapter 42, mm-hmm. I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, Who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, skipping to the end of that, yeah. I despise myself and repent mm-hmm. in dust and ashes.
And you see the humility.
Yes. He basically says, God, you're right. Oh, yeah. My goodness. You are he God. Repents. I'm not. You're right. Mm-hmm. And then God, of course, blesses him. Now, it's interesting to note, as you read the rest of chapter 42, God doesn't reverse time.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't bring people back to life. He doesn't make it like these things never happened.
Mm-hmm.
The children still died. The servant still died. The livestock still was carried away. But what God does is God blesses Job in the second half of his life so that he is able to replenish all of these things, mm-hmm. have more children. But we do have to understand that in all of this, there were very real consequences for very real people.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it is, that God says, I'm not going to answer why. I'm just going to say, I'm God, you're not.